Hello, everybody. Welcome to Deacon's Lodge on a glorious Friday afternoon. We're up here at this magnificent golf course because the fine folks at Breezy Point have invited us up here. And if you want to look at a beautiful view of Greater Minnesota Golf Course, forget Greater Minnesota, any golf course, we're at it. We're at the inside part of the clubhouse here. We just had tremendous food. So thanks to the folks from Breezy Point and my longtime buddy Mark Neva, who runs this place for Deacon's Lodge. We'll get to that later in the show. But I'm just minding my own business about 10:30 or so. And my boy who's on the line right now, Johnny Krasinski, all of a sudden he points out on Twitter, just a minor little point, Mark Laurie, good to know you. He's out of here. Mark Laurie, who, along with Alex Rodriguez, purchased the Timberwolves from Glenn Taylor. It was obviously controversial because they ended up going to court on it when Glenn felt like they had missed a deadline or two. But in the end, Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez prevailed, and they bought the team for $1.5 million. There have been questions during the sale about did both individuals have enough money. Glenn raised some of those points also, but it seemed like all was set, and then you still would hear some whispers, even our own Henry Lake. We were having a conversation on Sunday asking me, what am I hearing about a possible sale? And I said, I don't think it's going to happen this soon. Henry was right. I was wrong because a gentleman named Mark Stead has purchased Mark Laurie shares for a valuation of $4.5 billion. That's right. Laurie and Alex Rodriguez purchased initially from Glenn Taylor at $1.5 billion, and now Laurie is out at an estimated value of $4.5 billion. Johnny Krasinski's all over this from The Athletic. I appreciate the time, as always. Pretty simple question to start. Why did Mark Laurie make this decision?
Yeah, Chad, I mean, it definitely was surprising, but when you look at kind of the landscape of things and a couple of fronts here, it becomes a little bit clearer as to why. Number one is that Mark Laurie is right now in the throes of kind of trying to take his company Wonder public. And if you have noticed over the last year or so, Alex Rodriguez has really been the front-facing person in the ownership group, and Mark Laurie had been kind of absent because he has been busy trying to raise money, trying to get this this company in a position to launch into the public sphere. And really, I think he came to the conclusion that all of the money, all of the time and effort that he had to put into the Timberwolves and the Lynx was taking away from what he could do on that front. And so he did that, number one. Number two, the price tag of $4.5 billion. I mean, when you're talking about making $3 billion in just a couple of years, it's just an incredible return on investment as well. And so I think all of those things kind of lined up for him to say, you know what, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, a Wonder, I mean, it was a month ago I looked this up where they announced another series of evaluations at a $9 billion pre-money valuation. Time earlier this year named Wonder one of the most influential companies out there. It's another way of food delivery, Grubhub, DoorDash, taking it further. So let's go to this question, though, because the two of us on and off air had these conversations, the two of us with our sourcing. When Alex and Mark were stepping in to buy the team, there were questions about the money they had. For those folks who want to say, guess what? Mark never had enough money, cash on hand, that he was leveraged, that he's very successful, don't get me wrong, but that the money that you need to continue to operate his businesses and own the Timberwolves, that he just didn't have enough. For those folks who say that, are they right?
It's possible. What I would say, Chad, to that is, I don't have a look at his books. I don't know exactly, you know, what his finances are, but there has absolutely been rampant rumors through the last couple of years, or really since he first came in as a limited partner, that, yeah, he has a lot of money, but it takes a heck of a lot more than that to be able to run a franchise. Now, what is hard to kind of gather is how much of it was any kind of personal finance issues and how much of it was that he is just now dedicating all of his finances to this Wonder project,
sure,
to his company. And anytime I would bring this up to Mark and Alex, I've brought it up to both of them. I've told them, like, look, a lot of people don't think you have the money. And one of their instant rebuttals is, well, why would the NBA approve us if we didn't have the money? They looked at our, They looked at our books. And so that's an easy rebuttal to have in your back pocket, is like, hey, the league looked at all our financials and they approved us, so we must be okay. I would, you know, you flip a company or you flip a team this quickly, it certainly doesn't help any optics of that you didn't have money issues. But I, you know, I think those are things that are all whispers and rumors, but never really proven one way or the other.
So when we look at Mark Lurie's involvement with the team, and it's shorter than expected, and we were reviewing his biggest impact on this organization, is it he and Alex approaching Glenn Taylor and saying, let's go get Tim Connelly? Because Tim obviously is a highly regarded general manager. He's just one of the five or six best general managers in the game. At that point, my report, and I think is with you, where Glenn's like, well, we don't really have a chance. And they went out and landed him. If it's not that, what else would you say when we look back at Mark's time here with the team?
Yeah, no, I do think that the ability to land Tim Connelly is number one with a bullet in his contributions to this team. And it's nothing insignificant at all about that. Because remember, like when they went and got him, he was under contract with the Denver Nuggets, a division rival with the best player in the league on their roster. And there are many, many teams, including I think the one that is in this town, that would have said, nah, we're not even going to try there. Like, yep, he's theirs. We're not going to do it. That's not possible. We can't lure him away to a franchise that's struggling. And Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez combined said, you know what? We're going to go after him. We're going to pursue him. We're going to try to make this happen. And of course, Glenn Taylor was the one that had to sign off on it. And a lot of his money was put into the contract as well. But they got him, and Tim Connelly's helped build this team into a perennial playoff team, a perennial team that is going in past the first round in the playoffs, which has never happened before. Rebuilding the bridge with KG is another significant accomplishment. But I think that the Tim Connelly hire will be a number one on his resume list. And when you look back at what he did in his brief time running this franchise.
Pretty surprising news today that it happened this fast to a lot of people, that Mark Lurie is now out. Our friend John Krasinski from The Athletic, he's been all over this story this morning. Continue to follow him on Twitter and with The Athletic. Is it Stad? Is that the proper way to pronounce it? Do we know? Okay. So he's relatively, to be an owner, relatively young. He's 47. He manages this investment firm that only has what I like to call John Krasinski money, $35 billion in assets. I think I follow this team pretty closely. If the two of us would have been talking yesterday, and you're like, yeah, who are the minority investors in here? I would have said Bloomberg, Schmidt. I don't even think I would have said this guy's name. How has he emerged within that group to be the guy who stepped in and purchased the team from Mark?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Chad, like, for, in kind of reporting on this and talking to people around this situation, that is exactly how Mark's dad wanted you to not know. For the last several years, he's a very, very private guy. Even you go online, and a guy who is this wealthy, who has, you know, this many assets, you would think there'd be a lot more just publicly available information on him. There isn't a whole lot. He is very private. But he has been essentially the number three kind of partner in this group for several years now. He has been, I was told that he was involved in the LeBron recruiting a little bit from on an outside thing. He's kind of been around the team and talked to Tim Connelly a lot. But he always wanted to be under the radar and just like behind the scenes. And I don't think that's going to change a ton now that he's the number one guy. I think you're going to see an even more front facing Alex Rodriguez to handle a lot of the public kind of interactions that happen and with owning a team. This is just the way that Mark's dad rolls, and he's not going to be grabbing headlines himself. He's going to let Alex do a lot of that heavy lifting just in the public facing part of this thing.
Well, I'm glad you went there because I was going to ask that, and I'm not at as many games as you, not even close anymore, but I did notice, I mean, Mark Lowry was at how many home non-playoff games?
Yeah, not many.
I mean, like three or four? Like, I mean, I thought it was really notable, whereas Alex is there a lot. Alex is there on the road. Alex is there with their video presentations. He's with the players. And one of my first thoughts was, okay, because Alex Rodriguez has such a good and long-lasting relationship with Mark Lowry, how might this be different? But your initial thinking is, it's just Alex is still going to be every bit as out front. I guess we'll have to wait and see if the influence is the same. But on the visibility, Alex likes it. Well, let's be honest. Alex loves it. And it sounds like the new man doesn't care. So that's maybe a very good fit for their partnership.
Yeah, I think so. And that is kind of the important thing for Wolves fans to look at in terms of how does this affect things, you know, and the way that the team is run and operated. And the answer is, not that much. You know, we saw the Lakers last week completely change ownership groups, totally new guys coming in. That's an entirely different situation than this. This is essentially a reorganization, a restructuring, because Mark Lowry is still going to be a limited partner with the team. So he's not even leaving permanently either. He's just taking less shares so that Mark's dad can have the controlling vote. But when you look at the way that they're going to go about it, Alex is still firmly number two on the kind of share list, and he is going to be very much involved in every decision that happens. Mark Lowry is going to kind of chip in more on big picture stuff, I think, like arena and a few other things, but he just is going to be kind of devoting most of his time to Wonder. And then Mark's dad is going to be at the top of the food chain, and he will certainly be the final call. He will make real decisions behind the scenes and hirings and trades and all those things he's signing off on. But I do think that if Wolves fans are going to be expecting to see Mark's dad like you saw Mark Lowry early on in his tenure, that's probably not going to happen. He's going to be more behind the scenes, and it's going to be Alex out front as the front man for this trio.
Two last points with my guy John Krasinski from The Athletic on the Wolves sale. In your reporting, you talked about Mark Lowry had a chance to sell this for more, but thought Stad was the better way to go on the continuity side. Just expand on that, and how much money are we talking about?
Yeah, so, you know, we saw last week that the Lakers' valuation went from like $10 billion to $12.5 billion in a year, right? That's what Mark Walther got. So the values of these franchises are exploding. And to our part of our earlier conversation, Chad, about the long-time speculation that Mark Lowry didn't really have enough money to hold on to this for the long term, that means there were always guys, groups, sniffing around, you know, hey, what would you take for it? Hey, can we take this off of your hands type of thing? And so I do think that $5 billion is not out of the question, maybe even a little bit more. And from what I'm told, like, there were several people that were really showing interest in trying to get in to this, you know, sports franchise business. But Mark Lowry did say that he wanted to keep it in this family, in this ownership group's family, and he wanted continuity, and he wanted to make sure that kind of some of the plans they've laid forward, including starting an arena, including, you know, kind of just a lot of the other things that they've been doing, could be taken forward and not just completely blown up and start over. So I think that you're probably looking at an aggressive group could have come in at $5 billion or more and tried to like splash the pot and take it away. But that wasn't Lori's top priority in trying to make this decision here.
If you are a Glenn Taylor or let's go this way, and or the minority investors, and you see this today, and Glenn just sold it too low, and now in this short a period of time, Johnny, a $3 billion increase. What do you think?
No, it's incredible, Chad, when you look at it. And, I mean, we do have to add context here of when Glenn did sell the team. You know, it was coming out of COVID. The Wolves were terrible. Like, there was so much uncertainty about what this whole landscape was going to look like. And so it was, $1.5 billion. I even remember back then, it was like, wow, somebody got $1.5 billion for the Timberwolves. Like, that was the thinking back then. But really, in the last 3 years or so, I would say 3 to 4 years, franchise valuations have just exploded. And of course, I'm sure that Glenn thinks and, you know, kind of is kicking himself a little bit for the way this went down. And I, you know, that was part of the whole arbitration process, I think, was, you know, there was a little bit of second thoughts of, hey, if there's a way to get out of this and get back into the market, that's what I should do. But I do think that, you know, if anyone had the foresight that it was going to be this kind of environment, he never would have done it. But we just didn't know back then when this all came to pass.
Great information as always, Johnny. I'll talk to you later and appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
John Krasinski, he will continue to be all over this story, whether on X or The Athletic. Number of texts coming in. What do you want to say about what has happened here with a sale? Mark, if you want to bring me back for an occasional game, I'm thinking, considering the valuation team, $10,000 a game. $10,000. That's only if Allen wants to take a break. Or, by the way, I can't say who, but they're talking to some very highly regarded play-by-play announcers on TV. They're going to have some great people with my boy Jim Pete. But no, I'm kidding about that. What do you want to say about this move, this sale? 651-461-9226. Now, we're at Breezy Point. We're specifically at Deacon's Lodge, just a tremendous golf course up here, which I'm going to try to let our guy Chris Elston be dialed in tomorrow. I don't think so. I think the number is going to be busy and ring and ring and ring. I'm looking out these beautiful windows at the golf course, at the lake. These windows are okay. I got to be honest, they're fine. They're not Pella windows. They are not what you will see at PellaNorthland.com. You can go to that website and go through and see a lot of tremendous stuff. Okay? You'll get a pretty good feel. You can also just punch in there at PellaNorthland.com. Punch in your address. Say, I would like one of your representatives to come out. And you think, I don't know, what do you got to pay? $100,000, $500,000? Zero. Zero. They'll come out to your place and evaluate you and let you know which windows can be tinkered with, which windows really you need to replace, and if you want to modify. Now, if you'd rather see it firsthand, a showroom, I get it. I also went to the showroom in Plymouth. So you have the one in Plymouth, you have the newest one in Brooklyn Park, and also Woodbury. They're really good people. I trusted them in a house I lived in almost 20 years, and when I moved, there was not a shred of doubt Pella was going to be part of my new place. In August, and it's ticking by quickly, here's the offer. 20% off your entire Pella project, or 0% APR for 72 months. Don't wait. PellaNorthland.com.
Friday night football, Saturday last call, Sunday hallelujah. If you like it up loud and you're hillbilly proud, then you know what I'm talking about. Let me hear you say,
I'm here with Brad Lane. We'll bring Brad the conversation a little bit later. David Josephson, who's positively tingling about the opportunity to work another 90 minutes.
Oh.
Lane is here. Is he giving you, like, double pay to do this? How much more money are you getting?
Yeah, I got 3 extra weeks of vacation to work 90 minutes today, yeah.
That's right. Now, Did you? How many hours did you put in on a bumper music theme? Approximately
17.
17.
tell him, David. You, tell him who the bumper music theme.
Yeah, you better bring Brad
from.
In sooner because Brad picked the bumper music. I'm executing it, but this is Brad's brainchild.
Okay,
here.
What do we have?
What did you hear the song?
Football. Yeah,
that's got nothing to do with it.
Oh,
it's about the artist. Who is that?
Yeah, I know that. Why am I blanking who that is?
That is one Tim McGraw.
That's right.
He might be in concert with a few other bands tomorrow. No, Sunday night, I'm going to that concert.
Where is he at?
Target Field.
Target Field.
With the Chicks and with Lady A.
You know my problem with Tim McGraw? He's let himself go. You know, he really needs to work out a little bit better. My God, is he in good shape. It's absurd. All right, on the Wolves. Let's read a bunch of your texts. 651-461-9226. Jack, could these exploding values on sports franchises be considered inflation? It is. These are gargantuan numbers. It is stunning. And I haven't talked about this as much on air as I've talked about it off air with a lot of my friends. I don't know how people in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, considering the amount of money owners are paying, are going to be able to afford to attend games. It's enormous. And listen, the Wolves have been near the bottom of ticket pricing in the league. And trust me, this new ownership group wants to get them in the middle of the pack, if not a little bit higher. And there are a lot of loyal Wolves fans who stayed through, my God, I could go back to my era. The Jimmy Rogers, the Sid Lowe, then Kurt Rambis, David Kahn, and a lot of these people have been there forever. And now when they're great, they're like, what are you doing with ticket prices? And this isn't just the Wolves. By the way, the Wild aren't exactly cheap. You're not getting a free ride with the Vikings. And we're in the town we're in. Think about it in other towns. So that is another factor tied to these just ginormous numbers that are coming up. Texter, I think Lori intended to flip it all along. Listen, I'm not the only one on this station because H. Lake's been talking about it a lot. And there were a bunch of Lori Bobos who would go at me a lot when I would raise the topic. I have had only positive interactions with Mark Lori. Same thing with Alex Rodriguez. I knew Glenn for a long time. I probably interviewed Glenn twice the last 5 years of the ownership. I wish nothing but the best for Glenn. I didn't wish any harm on Mark and Alex in any way. But I kept hearing all along those money questions. And not that the guy's poor, get out of here, but that he has his money tied up in other things. And when he's getting evaluations for Wonder of $9 billion, that's a hell of a jump.
He's either the greatest actor in the world. I don't believe for a second he meant to flip it all along. He probably did see the numbers, but he looked like a very invested
he was into
fan.
It. Yeah.
You
he
know,
was.
Taking off the shoes, we're going to win.
Yep.
He was as front center as A-Rod, and I'm glad you brought it up with Johnny K. I do remember not seeing him the better part of the last half of last year, and especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He was nowhere to be found like he normally was.
A little bit more in the playoffs than the regular season, though. The last thing is somebody saying, is this because they can't get the arena? No, this is not. I still am wondering what the mix is going to be of this ownership's money, whatever county, whatever city, state. It's going to have to be a large amount from the Wolves. Listen, I'm wrong plenty of times. The Wolves are going nowhere. They are not going to leave. This town, when the Wolves are good to great, this is flat out more of an NBA town than an NHL. It's just a fact. Okay, at the lower level, with the amateur level, the college level, state of hockey, cute phrase, it's really worked. But when they're head-to-head, the NBA still has the bigger pull with this town. Major Garrett. I don't think he's a part of the new ownership group. He's next. Major is here. I want to ask you a respect question. You are a fixture on the show. Dave Harrigan, the normal producer, I don't know where he is today. He's gallivanting around town or something. And he didn't even leave your number for fill-in producer David Josephson to call you. How does that make you feel?
Overlooked, I think.
Yeah.
Overlooked, taken for granted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you also...
All of these will be more clips for the next open.
Yes, exactly. And perfectly in context, I can assure you, too. Now, on your phone, I noticed as I sent you the number to call in, on your phone, when you look at a text, it's red. Okay? Do you want everybody to know that you've read, like, let's say I send you something, you know, one of my pithy, silly texts I send you, and then you never get back to me, and I know it says red? That makes me feel terrible. I mean, how do you feel about that?
What do you mean it says red? What do you mean?
Right here, Brad Lane, what does it say on the Major Garrett text?
It says he read it at time. Yeah. 12:39 p.m. our time.
I read it. I see. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and so I'm not quite following your question here, Chad, because I read the text message, then I dialed the number.
Yeah.
The text message said, "Can you call us?"
Right. So, see, I don't want people knowing that I read their text, so I've taken that off. So, like when Brad, who's here, he's my boss. Like, we're in the Brainerd Lakes area. Are you familiar with the movie Godfather 2? What happened to Fredo?
Yeah.
I think this is why Lane has come up here. He came up here to dump me into Gull Lake, potentially. I mean, next week.
This probably reveals something about who I am and what I am. I've never... In my entire life of owning a cell phone, did it occur to me to do what you did and not let people know whether you've read it or not? That thought never crossed my mind. I would always assume if they sent me a text message that I would read it and they would know that I would read it.
See, this is good for your sourcing, though. Like when you're reaching out to somebody and I mean, when you used to be a journalist, now you're just a teleprompter guy. You're in a studio. Makeup.
Yeah, I don't
you
make
know.
Any phone calls anymore. I don't check anything out anymore. Nope.
Now you'll know. And also, we have an update. We have an update from Dan Cook, who you've also talked to before. Actually, your number was on the second page of the sheet. So that tells you the effort David Josephson put in looking your number. He didn't flip the sheet over. I mean, again, very, very disrespect.
Underappreciated, overlooked, disrespected, all those things apply.
Natalie.
Oh, God.
It's silly how big this story has become. This is John Ossoff, the senator from Georgia, who, when he's given his speech, he's running for reelection, heavily favored to win, a darling a lot of Democrats because of his eloquence and his presence, and could he be a part of the youth, the Democrats, might look for in 2028 when he's critiquing the president and use the phrase traveling with Natalie. And it has become this conversation. I think there's been some consistency. I think there's been some utter hypocrisy on this. Why do you think the White House drove this story as much as they did? Because to me, if they just let it go by, I don't think it's anywhere near the story it's become.
No. And they went thermonuclear from the moment it happened. I mean, just absolutely, even by Trumpian standards.
Yeah.
The vitriol, the hatred, the acidic nature of their social media response. Gave it a sense that, well, why would the White House, this White House, which can throw punches, everyone knows that, and counter punches, be so aggressive about this one particular story if they were not sensitized to it in a way we don't fully understand? I don't get that part. But to your point, Chad, it blew the story up 400, 500, insert whatever large number you can think of. The larger by orders of magnitude that it would have been. I don't consider it a story. Beyond this, there is a person who works in the White House at Donald Trump's behest, morning, noon, and night, who is the conduit for social media content and conspiracy theories that bring out the worst in Donald Trump's instincts. And that person is Natalie Harp, okay? That's always been true. And because she is this conduit, she occupies a special place in the psychology of President Trump. The things he's had to apologize for, which he rarely does on social media, were part of the Natalie Harp conduit.
Mm-hmm.
The conspiracy theories that suddenly show up in his social media feeds are part of the Natalie Harp conduit. So she does things and moves things to the president outside of the Trumpian, loosely regulated information flow to this president. Lots of other presidents I've covered had a very, very tight, very locked down information flow to the president. It had to go through the chief of staff, and if it didn't go through the chief of staff, it had to go through a cabinet secretary, and that was it. That's not the way President Trump has ever operated. But even by those flexible and loose standards of information getting to the president of the United States, Natalie circumvents that. That's why this story has nominal interest, but it only has nominal interest in that, okay, we've identified the conduit, but the actions and the necessity for that conduit to exist in the first place is still all about Trump. This is a story about Trump. Yes, Natalie Harp has written letters that sort of suggest a kind of psychological dependency. Many people in politics become psychologically dependent on the so-called principal, the person who's responsible for their job and their sense of life satisfaction and climbing a political ladder. Happens all the time. Perhaps Natalie Harp is a little bit more loquacious in her letters than others. But other than that, I don't know why this is a story.
How about this part?
Trump story.
The fact that she didn't have a security clearance for as long as
that
she...
That, again, is a Trump story.
Yeah, right.
Because
and also
doesn't care about those things. That's not news. That's not new. I mean, it's alarming. It's odd. But it's not new. Trump doesn't care about those things. He never has.
That's fair. That's,
people
he
can
should.
Come in and come out of his orbit as he decides. He's declassified information at whims. He's classified information in his head. That was the whole answer back to documents held in Mar-a-Lago. I declassified them in my mind.
Yes.
You know? I mean, all these protocols are about who Trump is and what his orientation to the presidency is. I mean, I think it's a much bigger deal that the Supreme Court still hasn't told the country whether or not this military bunker, oh, by the way, it's going to happen to have a ballroom on top of it, can proceed or not, which the New York Times reported this week, the construction work on it goes 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know? And other things that the president is trying to do to remake this entire capital city only in his image.
Yeah.
Not the image of the presidency, but only his image.
That's correct.
Again, the president's got a new regulatory framework that takes a lighter touch on banks. Oh, and he just got a charter for a bank. What?
Yeah.
That seems to me to be a much bigger deal than Natalie Harp, for goodness sake.
All right, well, let's stay with the Trump life then, okay? Let's just make that the theme today because I believe these are the quotes, racist, con man.
Oh, God,
if he wins the presidency, I'm going to change my name and leave the country. Mm-hmm. This is Michael Cohen just a few years ago. And magically, Cohen is having Donald Trump on his podcast, calling him boss, telling him the polls are wrong. Geez, I can't imagine why Michael's doing that.
Yeah. So, Chad, this is a general observation. It's not specific to Michael Cohen, but it most certainly applies. This is a general observation. There are times in life when you're an adult when you have to make a decision, do I walk or do I crawl? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it to this well-informed, sagacious audience to decide for itself what Michael Cohen is doing and why he's doing it.
Yes. I don't think it's that difficult. Last thing, we are in the Brainerd Lakes area. From the metro, maybe 2 to 3 hours away, with this beautiful golf course, Deacon's Lodge, thanks to Breezy Point. What would this be comparable in the D.C. area? If folks were getting away and they were going like an hour and two to maybe Lake area, what is that in D.C.?
An hour or two. So when I get away for golf, it's about 2 hours. I go to Bedford Springs, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Just outside, about 2 hours, 15 minutes maybe. And I play the old course there, a phenomenal course made before the turn of the century. And I don't mean the 21st century. I mean before the turn of the 20th century. It's a late 1800s golf course, Tillinghast golf course, and a great Omni resort there attached. So that's where I go. I don't know where a lot of other people go, but that's where I go.
I got it. Have a fabulous weekend. And thank you, as always, for coming on. The great Major Garrett, the takeout is an absolute must. I had 7 or 8 other items, but we ran out of time. Aquarius, drinking your water, reliability, just simple as this. AquariusHomeServices.com. Have your water tested. Okay? Find out the quality of your water, and then find out, because they work right with Kinetico. They're providing Kinetico all across the place. I have one at my house. I've had a Kinetico drinking water system at my house since 1993. Find out how much better the water is for you, for your family, for cooking. How about you get that water softener? The dishes are better. The spots, they're shiny. How they should look. Your laundry's better. You take the shower. If you take the bath, get out of here. Stop taking a bath. But your bath is better. They can help you out with their air conditioner. They're just a rock-solid company, locally reliable, earning the right to be recommended since 1987. I trust them every single day. AquariusHomeServices.com.
Who doesn't know what I'm talking about?
Among the texts, and this is literally the first time this week we've talked Natalie Hart. We have not spent any time on it, just to be clear. Among the texts, Ossoff was wrong for even bringing up Natalie's name. His audience, 90% of them, don't even know who Natalie is. Here's my text. Fair argument. Hope you feel the same when Trump continually punches down in a belittling way. If you want to make the argument that John Ossoff is a senator, he should direct his disagreements towards the president, I understand that line of thinking. But when Donald Trump, ever since the escalator, has been belittling people in disgusting ways towards their looks, towards women, quiet piggy, I hope you're consistent about that. And if you've been, bravo. Okay? But if you're like, oh, those are different circumstances, then you're a hypocrite. So if you want to call out Ossoff, I get it. There are plenty of Democrats who called out Ossoff and said he shouldn't have lowered himself to that level. But you can't stick your head in the sand about what the president does on almost a daily basis. You can't look the other way. Swift Takes is coming up next hour, including, is this where Brad Lane is firing me, and is that why he brought me up here? I'm going to stop talking.